So we're at a point in Peter's letter where he's calling us to be people of God's word, people who learn God's word, who love God's word, who live by God's word. And in the middle of this wonderful section that's talking about the power of God's word in our lives, he gives us this wonderful quotation from Isaiah. And it is a very comforting and encouraging word. And what I wanted to do tonight is really just look at the context of where these verses come from in Isaiah, to really see just how comforting they are and how they then apply to us as well. The need to listen to God's word is at the heart of the message of Isaiah. You could even perhaps say it is the message of the prophet Isaiah that he sent to deliver to the people, that he sent to call them to listen to God, to hear God's word, because the people of the time were refusing to listen. They would not listen to the commandments of God. They would not listen to the calls to repentance from God. They would not listen to the promises of God. But they were closing their ears. And so Isaiah's message, really, from beginning to end, is listen to God. Trust God's word. Believe his promises. Listen to the Lord. And so if you ever read through Isaiah more times than you'll be able to count, you'll see this is said in many different ways, such as hear the word of the Lord, listen to the teaching of our God, hear the voice of the Lord, or the voice of the Lord has spoken. Again and again, just calling the people to come back to what God was saying. But it's there in the book as well, positively. For example, when Isaiah shares a vision of the future glory of God's people when they're restored, and when Christ has come and redeemed them, and he sees a picture of the kingdom of God thriving, at the heart of that is he sees people listening to the word of God. There's that famous passage in chapter 2 where he sees the mountain of the Lord being exalted above all of the mountains, and he sees the nations are all streaming up to Zion. And why? Because they're coming to listen to the law of the Lord. And the Lord is going to teach them to turn their weapons into plowshares. And they're coming to hear God's word. Or you could see this theme as well in Isaiah's famous commissioning in chapter 6, the vision we looked at a few weeks ago, where the great holiness of God is revealed. And Isaiah is sent to preach to them. But in fact, God tells him his preaching of the word is only going to further lead to a hardening of the people. They're going to continue in their refusal to listen. Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy. So it comes up again and again in Isaiah. Listen to God's word and live. Believe his word. But if you refuse to listen, there will be judgment. And again, this carries on. If you look through 7 through 9, that's the story of Isaiah's encounter with King Ahaz. The situation, of course, is that Ahaz is in Jerusalem and he's afraid because Israel and Syria have allied together and they're plotting to attack and to overthrow Ahaz and replace him with their own stooge as king. And so God sends Isaiah to Ahaz to say, listen to the word of the Lord. God promises that won't happen. God will preserve the royal line of David. Put your trust in the Lord and believe his promise. But of course, Ahaz refuses to listen. So much so that then a further rebuke comes. That God's word will most definitely be true. Even to the point that Emmanuel will come. The royal line will continue until the true king and heir will be raised up. But instead, Ahaz, he refuses to listen, and he turns to Assyria for help. And he thinks he's being wise and clever in making a political alliance and calls in Assyria to be his defense. But, of course, it horribly backfires and Assyria devours Judah as well. But the whole point of that narrative, as you look at it in the book of Isaiah, is that Ahaz rejects God's word. He will not listen. He will trust to his own wisdom. And it leads to its ruin. And so you meant to see in that story in Ahaz that we've got that same choice. It's setting, if you like, the same dilemma before us as God's people. Will we trust in God's word? Even if it seems like all the circumstances are going against us, if it seems like we're surrounded by enemies, who will we believe? Will we trust in that moment what God promises? Or will we try to rely on our own strength to get through? And so in a sense, we're all stood in that position Ahaz was in. Even so, at the very end of the book, in the final section, which is about the last 10 chapters or so, the Lord really speaks about the end of the age, of last things and the coming of the kingdom with Christ's return. And listen crucially to what he says here in the closing chapter. This is 66 verse 2. The Lord says, "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." And so it's there right at the very end of Isaiah. The one who will inherit the kingdom of God is the one who trembles with fear and awe before God's word, who listens to God's word and will live by it. No matter what he might see, he's going to trust to what God says. So I hope you don't mind me taking this time just to set this context of the quote that Peter's drawing from. Because this fuller context helps us to see how rich and powerful these verses are that Peter's quoting. Now, of course, they specifically, they come from chapter 40 of Isaiah. And this is when God has Isaiah prophesy into the future. And he's giving a word to a future generation of God's people when Babylon is going to take them into exile. And God prepares the way before them, before that happens, and gives them this word of hope and comfort and encouragement before they have to endure that suffering, to sustain them as they go through it. And he gives them the promises of Christ to come, the redeeming servant, rescue from Babylon. And again, in some ways, it ties into this bigger theme in Isaiah. All they could see around them was disaster. I mean, Jerusalem is a smoking heap of ruins. The line of David seems to be extinguished. The true king has been taken off as a slave into Babylon. That seems hopeless. And it's all because of the people's own sins. So does it even look like God himself is against them? So it seems utterly hopeless, all that they can see in the situation. But the message comes to them. God's word is the same. His promises are the same. He says, comfort my people. And then what is the comfort? That his word endures forever. Or as Isaiah put it, his word stands forever. So the people are grass. The grass withers. But the word of God stands. So you see the comfort to this people who've got nothing. God says, I will keep my word. What word? His word that he will save them. His word that he will never break his covenant with them. His word that he will send a savior. His word that his kingdom will triumph. His word that their sins will be forgiven. It's his word of the gospel. The good news that they're told to go and declare. And so this word comes to them in this hopeless place. A bit like Ahaz. All they can see is disaster, but this impossible word comes. And God says, believe my word. So you see just how powerful this is as a verse to comfort. It's very similar to what the Lord says in that well-known chapter in chapter 55, when he says, just as the rain falls down from heaven to refresh the earth, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So again, you've got this remarkable reassurance that God's word is effectual. It's powerful. What God has said, it comes out with such force and power, it creates and transforms the situation. So here they are, in the midst of despair, but they've got God's word. And all man's glory, all man's loveliness, Isaiah says, all the strength of Babylon, all human wisdom, it's all fragile and temporary And the blast of wind, even the slightest difficulty, just makes all man's strength collapse. But God's word stands. It will come true. So Peter, what a wonderful application he's making when he's quoting this verse here. So again, remember, these are under pressure saints, facing persecution, trials and injustices, some of them slaves, some of them poor. But you see what Peter's saying to them? All those worldly things, all those people lording it over you, all that power of the state persecuting you, it's just grass. It will just fade away. It will fail. It has no real strength. But God's word that you have is forever. The same promises. He says the same gospel has been preached to you. God's word stands. He will save you. He will forgive you. He will bring you into his kingdom. He will give you eternal life. And so tying that all of it together, there's no doubt many of these saints hearing this, they'd have known that full context of Isaiah that's behind this. Don't be like Ahaz, who gave in to fear. There's a beautiful poetic image in Isaiah chapter 7, when Isaiah confronts Ahaz. And it says that the heart of Ahaz and of all the people of Jerusalem was blown like the branches of the trees in the wind. They were just swept away by fear. They were shaken by it. And our hearts can be like that when we're going through trials and suffering and all we see is overwhelmingly against us. But what we have on the opposite side is God's word that stands. And so we mustn't be like Ahaz who gives in to the fear. We must have faith. Have faith that all these promises to us are true. I sometimes think that the Christian life, a lot of the time, is a bit like being in the center of a whirlwind. That all around you, at times, there seems to be chaos and things out of control, things that are frightening, things that are overwhelming and beyond you. But the saint who's looking to God's word is in the eye of the storm, right in the middle, and can have peace. And so much of the Christian life is when you're there and life's swirling around you, that you just trust God. That you don't know how it's going to resolve itself. You don't know how that storm will end. But you will trust because you have God's sure word, his faithful word that stands and will never change, will never let you down, that all his promises are yes and amen. And so that's why Peter's bringing in this wonderful word of here to these pilgrims going in exile, to us. He's saying that this is the wonderful word of God you've got. No matter what, cling to this, trust to this. Here's the solid ground you can stand on. Don't worry about what it might look like around you. Believe this wonderful word that doesn't change. So I hope bringing out some of that context of Isaiah helps you see what a wonderful word this is for us. And what a confidence it can give us. Let's pray together. Our great Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for all the promises and assurance that you've given us. That you are with us, that in Jesus Christ you are for us. We thank you for the word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for the word that you are working all things for our good, and that you will bring us safely into your heavenly kingdom. We thank you for the word that nothing can snatch us from the hands of our Savior. That he loves us, that he laid down his life for us. And so, Lord, we thank you that this is the same unchanging word that was spoken through Isaiah to your people in Babylon, to these saints that Peter writes to. And we thank you that it's the same faithful, unchanging word to each of us here tonight. And Father, you know the storms and the whirlwinds that each of us may have to face. But we thank you that we are safe here, that we have peace, because we can trust in your word. Please help us, Lord, when we do feel afraid and overwhelmed. Please, Lord, speak strength into our souls and say that you are our salvation, and increase our faith, we pray. Help us, O Lord. May we trust you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.